Morning, everyone. Morning. Lovely to see you. I think we're typical of a lot of churches through the summer, where people disappear for a while and then come back. But lovely to see you all. And just want to say good morning to those who aren't with us today. So Bruce and Eunice and Sarah Jane and Jean and Stuart. Dennis and Joan and Chris and Sarah and John, Bruce's dad, good morning to you, and Rachel, and anyone else who's listening online, do let us know your names if you are. So it's great to be here. It's wonderful to come and worship Jesus together in this place. And so let's pray and then we'll worship the Lord. Jesus, we're so thankful again to be here this morning. Lord, each one of us has things that we're concerned about. But thank you that we can come here together as a family and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, let you be our focus as you always should be. Lord, let us always come to you with whatever reason, but mostly, Lord, to lift your name on high. So thank you for this time. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So later on today, we'll be going to look at the testimony of Vic Jacobson, and it's quite a story. We're going to watch that on a video. But for now, we're going to worship Jesus, and we're going to sing, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure, we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word." Amen. So we're going to continue in worship and sing, Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus is the name we praise. Open prayer. I'm just going to start with a verse from 1 Thessalonians, and then Stuart, would you read us your first prayer, for the beginning of the day prayer, when I've read the verse, and then please do pray as you feel led, as we have been doing. That would be wonderful. So rejoice in the Lord always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Okay. This is called a prayer to begin the day. And it is, Dear Lord, you have brought me to the beginning of a new day. As the world is renewed, fresh and clean, so I ask you to renew my heart through your strength and purpose. Forgive me for the errors of yesterday and bless me to walk closer in your way today.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I'd like to say a prayer for all the war-torn areas of the earth, including and especially Ukraine.
Amen.
Lord, you know your will for is for the world to be peaceful. Ultimately, you have a plan for the earth, and you've explained it in the Bible. But we know that there will be wars, there will be conflicts, there will be troubles. But Lord, we do pray for the people of Ukraine and the horrors that they're going through. Lord, please place your hand on that country and on the leaders of the other countries that are involved, that there may be a peace deal, and an equitable peace deal, a fair one for everybody, Lord. But your will be done, Lord. We pray for those people, and we pray for all people of the world who are affected by war at this time. Amen.
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 Maybe we should, at the same time, have thoughts and prayers for the people of Palestine and the Gaza. This is pretty horrendous out there, with children dying of starvation.
Mm.
I'm sure that the Lord didn't bring us on this world to be like this.
Mm.
It is a tough life out there now. My prayers are with them every day as well.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we pray for them, and we pray for the people of Israel. And we pray for wisdom for all leaders in those countries. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our own country, for our government, that they would lead us wisely. And Lord, we think of those known to us. There are many people that we know who have difficulties, are unwell, and I want to pray for Deborah and Graham, as they're not with us this morning. And I didn't say good morning because I was still hoping they'd be here. So, Lord, wherever they are, would you be with them? Would you let them know your presence? And we pray healing in their lives, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God, there's so much wickedness too going on in this world. I just ask thee, Lord, that I know it's within your time, but that you will undertake and overrule. I feel guilty, Lord, when I get worked up with the little things, and I get so cross with myself, because I know that you are there. You are there for me, and you hear us, you hear our prayers, and you understand. I just pray to you that I may trust you more and more. You're my Lord, you're my Saviour, Jesus, and I just thank you for that. I just ask for more strength, more peace in my body, Lord, in my mind, I pray. And for others who suffer from this old trouble. Thank you that we can come to you and talk to you and bring things to you and leave them with you. That's something that I again must do more of, leave things with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let you undertake and overrule in your time and your way, Lord. And I thank you again, Lord, for what you've done. I'm sorry to be talking about myself, but I just want to thank you for what you've done since Alan died and how I've come through these last 13 years. It's just unbelievable. I wouldn't have coped without you, I know. But once again, I do thank you. And I pray for Helen. Pray for the problems there. Dear Brian and her husband. Lord, I just lift them up to you now. Pray that you will quieten Helen's mind and give them peace. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I have a similar feeling, because only 2 weeks ago, it was 9 years since my wife died, but I'd like to thank the Lord for what we have in the Southwest. I'm sure we take it for granted in our day, They say things should be built on strong foundations. I want to see front. I look at Buried Lighthouse now. That is built on one of the strongest foundations that we've got. I can go half an hour, eight or rock. What a strong foundation that is. We can build our lives on that rock, not on soft sand that will sink or wash away. We have to build our life on a strong foundation. If only we could do that through you, Lord. And you have guided us to do it our way. But we have to follow you and do our very best as well. But thank you for the Southwest. I was born and bred in this town. It's my home and it's my life. But only through you. God bless you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, would you pray for strength for Brian
at this time? And Lord, entrust Helen's care to you. But we pray for him and Stan. Must be so hard, but Lord, you know, and that's the thing, as Rita shared, we need to give everything to you, and we have this habit of taking it back again and worrying. But Lord, help us captivate our thoughts, Lord, and help us not to be worriers but trusters of you. And we may not always understand why things are happening. And we know your word says that we will suffer, but we trust in your timing. Again, as Rita said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love for us. Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. Let's continue in that. So, just that one next. Oh, lost me thing. Right. So we're going to sing, Who Is There Like You? And Who Else Would Give Their Life For Me? Even Suffering In My Place. And Who Could Repay You? All of creation looks to you, and you provide for all you have made, which is what we've been saying, really, isn't it? So, who is there like you?
Your faithful. I was still waiting for the other song to come.
Sorry. We're trying to find a way. I'll do it again.
Right, the first reading this morning is from Psalm 68, verses 1 to 6. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the cloud. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads for the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land.
Amen. Thank you, Rita.
Second reading is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness that was for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I love that. And we've been talking about things we're concerned about, and it says the oil of gladness instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So we need to keep praising him in all circumstances. And it says a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And I'm bringing that one out because it ties in with Vic's testimony in just a moment. But before that, we're going to sing Father God, I Wonder. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But now I am your son. I am adopted in your family, and I can never be alone, because Father God, you're there beside me. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful song. Oh, pop it behind there. So, we're now going to listen to Vic Jacobson's testimony. Quite a story, quite amazing. I knew about Hope Now, but I hadn't heard his story before. So, I'm going to let him tell you and stop talking. And just to say, we were going to watch a DVD of Bruce Porter's, which is amazing, but it just goes up to 2006. So I found one that's more up to date, but still only goes up to 2020. So at the end of the testimony, I'll just fill you in a bit about what he's done since. So it's about 15 minutes long, I think, just in case you're wondering. But oh, right. Sorry.
He's decided to go somewhere else. This is it. Okay.
Hello. This is where my story begins. Hollybrook Home was in Southampton. children's home that was on an estate, 12 houses with 12 children in each house. And I lived up there. That was my bedroom. Now, of course, it's been turned into apartments and it's somebody's home. And I hope it's a happy place for them. It certainly wasn't for me. I can look back at it now dispassionately, but this was a place of horror for me. And I spent most of my childhood here. Let's go back to my house and I'll tell you the rest of the story. This is my home. Come on in. Let's just continue to talk in here. I've lived here for 45 years, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful place to live. My home, this is where I have lived these past 45 years. It's where we brought up our children. It's been a great blessing to us. Yes, I've been here since lockdown in my studio. I'm able to continue teaching and preaching in Ukraine and preaching to a much wider audience as well. So let me continue the story. My father died when I was just a year old. And my mother had only 5 days before that given birth to my sister Doreen. I was the youngest of 4 boys. The war was still on, so 1942. No social services, so you can imagine the difficulty that must have been for my mother. I was put into Hollybrook Homes along with my brother Michael. And life there was very difficult. I won't say too much about it, but suffice to say I was 8 years old before I even knew I had a mother. Nobody thought that was important enough to tell me, but on my 8th birthday I had a card just signed Love Mum, no other words. And that was a devastating reality for me. I remember sitting under an old beech tree and crying my eyes out that day. It wasn't long after that that I got into my first bout of trouble. I went to a friend's house simply to wait for him. But while I was there, I stole some things. And that night, when it came to evening inspection, when the housemistress held my trousers up in front of my nose because I hadn't folded them properly, she shook them and out of the pockets fell these rings. I was treated to 6 of the best across my rear end, but that was a treatment that I was well used to. Unfortunately, the house father was somewhat of a sadist. And throughout my childhood, I was constantly in trouble with the police, going up in front of juvenile court, and usually I'd hear words like, "If you do this again, we'll send you away." I used to think that would be a wonderful idea. I'd love to be sent away, but I never was. At the age of 15, I had to leave school. That was school leaving age in those days. And I joined the army, thinking at least I would be fed and clothed. But after 9 months, I stole some post office savings books, and in trying to get money out of those savings accounts, I was caught. So I was kicked out of the army. I now landed on the streets of Southampton, homeless. And at the age of 18, my mates decided it'd be great for me to have a birthday party. And so I broke into 22 houses that day in order to steal enough money to have this party. But there we are, fencing the camera. I was caught by
a policeman by the name of Brown, who I knew already, and in fact he became a Christian, and later on in life we became friends. But as I had no fixed address, they very kindly gave me one in Winchester Prison. And it was while I was there that I picked up a Gideon Bible that was left in my cell. I was not really a reading kind of a person. I have dyslexia, and so it was a difficult process for me. But I did get into the Bible, difficult as the language was, with the Old English. And I was fascinated by Jesus. I was fascinated in the first place, rather like me. He was homeless. The Bible says that foxes have their holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And I thought, he's just like me. And he had a gang, he called his disciples, and he loved to argue with authority, which was something that I was very familiar with. But the fascinating thing for me was when I read that you could be born again. I thought that would be a wonderful idea. I'd made such a mess of it first time around. And as I read on and saw some of these wonderful truths, like the old things have passed away, and that you can be a new person. And I really wanted to be a different person. I found myself on my knees, crying my eyes out and praying to God that he would take my life and change it. I remember the prayer that I prayed. In fact, I said, God, if you're there, you've got 10 days to change my life. And if you ain't done it by then, you've dropped it. Well, I never counted the days. I did know that something had happened, but I wasn't sure what. I rang the bell inside the cell door, and the warden came up. He said, what do you want? I said, I'd like to see a chaplain. He says, what on earth do you want to see a chaplain for? I said, I don't know. I said, I think I've just become a Christian. Oh, he says, it's the Methodist you want. Well, the Methodist came up the next day, but frankly was not very helpful. His solution to my conversion was to send me the Methodist Recorder, which frankly I didn't find as interesting as the Bible, so I got back to reading the Bible. I was sentenced to spend a year in London at a place called McGregor House. It was a probation hostel. Meant that you could go out to work during the day, but you had to be there once you came in from work. But on Sundays, we were free. So I decided to go to church. And my first experience of church, frankly, could have been disastrous, because when I got inside the church, everything was just so foreign to me. But on the way out, the minister stopped me and said, hello, what's your name? I said, Vic. He says, where are you from, Vic? I said, the probation hostel up the road. Oh, he says, that's nice. Well, it might be for you, mate, I've got to live there. He says, look, would you like to come to my place for tea this afternoon? And I thought, he's bent. That when you live on the street, there's only one kind of person that invites you home. And he said, look, I've got four daughters and they'd love to meet you. Well, you know, that caught me. I went along. And, you know, this man was fascinating. Sat there, puffing on his pipe. His shoes had been kicked off. But he talked in the most natural way about Jesus. And I was hooked. Very soon after that, I started going to a prayer meeting on a Saturday morning. And after one of these prayer meetings, a guy called Tony State said to me, come on, Jacobson, grab a chair. So I dutifully grabbed a chair because he seemed to have plenty of authority. And off we marched to the end of Chatsworth Way to the corner of the High Street. And he stood on the chair and started to preach and got quite a crowd because in those days you could be heard. There weren't so many cars on the road. And when he finished, he just slapped me on the back. He said, "Now get up there and you tell them about Jesus." Well, of course, I had no preparation. I had really any idea what to say, but I got up on the chair and I remember that there was an advert about Daz that washed things whiter than snow, and I had that morning read in the Bible about if your sins are as scarlet, they should be as white as wool. And so I started by asking the question, "Do you know how white wool can get?" And I told them how he had washed my sins and given me salvation. And I was amazed that people actually stood there and listened. So I was hooked. A little while after that, I think about 2 weeks after that, I was baptized. And I remember as I was going down under the water, the words of the song that the congregation were singing, "I am trusting thee for power, thine can never fail. Words which thou thyself shalt give me must prevail." And that actually has been the story of my life, because God called me to be a preacher. I've been preaching now for more than 60 years. And I've seen thousands of people come to Christ. First of all, I was in pastoral ministry after 4 years at Spurgeon's College training for the ministry. I spent 8 years in pastoral ministry alongside my dear wife Sue. It was there that we started our family with our daughters, Christy and Ruth. And then I was invited to become the national director for Evangelism Explosion. And after doing that for a while, I was asked to become the vice president of the international organization with responsibility for all of Europe, both sides of the Iron Curtain as it was then. It was in 1985 that my wife and I left Evangelism Explosion and set up Hope Now, which we served for 25 years until poor health caused retirement. I continued to work in Ukraine, which is where I had worked for many years already, but sadly my wife got Alzheimer's, and so for 4 years the focus of my attention was obviously on my dear Sue, until she died 3 years ago, right here on the very spot where I'm talking to you today. I handed her over into the arms of the Lord she loved so well. Since then I've got back to work in Ukraine, continued working with the prisoners in Prison 62, where we've seen so many men not only become Christians but go on into ministry. Even the prison governor became a Christian along with his whole family, and I had the joy of baptizing him in the River Dnieper. God had us working with orphans and rescuing homeless children. Two of those children, two boys, became our sons. And of course they are today grown with their own families. And God has seen fit to bless my life in so many ways. Well, as you can see, I'm an old man now with much to be thankful for. But the end is not yet. It will come one day. and then I'll make that journey, and we will see that God is faithful. How thankful I am for the Gideons, and for one person who put a Bible in that cell, the investment that he made, I believe, was so worthwhile.
So, as he said, his wife passed away in 2017. He continued the work. And he talked about mentoring young people. I don't know if he did he mention South Africa? I can't remember if I heard. Yeah, I picked that up in a different talk, I think. but he did mentor people in South Africa who have become leaders. And also, some of the ones he's mentored in Ukraine, five of them are running IT businesses in Cherkasy, which of course is in Ukraine, and they focus just in that place in Cherkasy. That's where Hope Now has focused its work. And Hope Now has gone on to continue amazing work. They do children's camps, and they've got a dedicated place for that. So a wonderful work that they founded. And in March 20, so obviously the war came in February 22 in Ukraine, but in March 23, when Vic was interviewed at Christ Church in Winchester, he was instrumental in organising trucks to Ukraine with clothing, etc. And then I'm telling you this because they're really all worth listening to. I've heard the lot. There's one in July 24 that he did. So he goes to a church called Above Bar Evangelical Church in Southampton, and his pastor interviewed him, and that one's, I think, an hour and 36 minutes. But it's brilliant because, you know, other things come out as well that he couldn't get into that 15 minutes. So, yeah, and also Bruce Porter's DVD is well worth watching as well. It's actually quite hard-hitting because it has some reconstruction of his early life. But, yeah, so I'll, and I think it's still by my television, so I'll bring that next week if anyone wants to watch it. I can't hear you. I can't hear one. So, yeah, I didn't know the hymn that he talked about, but it was interesting that I'd chosen the one that was unfortunately not in here, but it's just those, oh no, so I can't read it from there, can I? I need it from here, sorry. Already thought that through. I just love those words because he talked about trust, and it says, I'm trusting in your word, trusting in your cross, trusting in your blood and all your faithfulness, for your power at work in me is changing me. And look how the Lord's worked in Vic's life. An amazing inspiration. So we're going to sing now, God Forgave My Sin. And the chorus is, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
Forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name.
So we're going to sing God Sent His Son, which we do on the streets, one of our favourites. And we're down there usually every other Monday, but sometimes it changes when we're away and things. But we're down there tomorrow morning. And a friend of ours, Oliver, who came to the Lord just a few years ago, he wants to come and visit us here and bring his testimony, and he wants to share his testimony on the streets of Torquay. So if you happen to be in Torquay tomorrow morning, we get down there about 11:15 to set up and sing for an hour. So if anyone's free to join us, we'd love to see you. Come and sing with us. So of course the chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to bow, hear and forgive, be good and proud to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior.
Because I know he holds.
Yes, please.
Dennis, Joe, Chris and Sarah.
Yeah.
Saw Chris the other day.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of problems at home with Sarah.
Okay.
Do you know who I mean?
Yes, I do. I said good morning to them, but I didn't know you'd seen
them.
Oh,
I see what you mean.
Yeah. But I hadn't prayed for them because I didn't know.
So that is, Chris was quite in a state the other day. I'm sorry.
So let's just pray for Dennis and for Joan and for Chris and Sarah. Lord, would you bring your healing hand in their situation? Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hallelujah.